Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, My Take on Alex Jones. That's right. We go right into the topic you're not supposed to talk about. And then Steve Moore helps us unpack the unacceptable bill from the U.S. Senate that now heads to the House. And then finally, at the end of this program, I talk about a University of Oklahoma wide receivers coach that resigned unnecessarily. I think it's so unfair when someone makes a mistake to say a word that somebody else said it had written down and their multi-decade career has to be ruined. What's happened to us? What a joke. It's wrong. You live in Oklahoma. I want to hear your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. I think Coach Venables, however you say his name, it's a disgrace to destroy someone's career like that. It's awful. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Well, buckle up. We're about to go into thought crime territory, into a direction that you're not supposed to talk about. Okay. So Alex Jones has been in the news recently. Alex Jones is the founder of InfoWars. He has been smeared by every possible outlet imaginable as being an unfounded conspiracy theorist. Now, let me tell you the first exposure I had to Alex Jones. When I was in third or fourth grade, there were these YouTube videos that would be circulating of Alex Jones sneaking into globalist confabs. Remember these videos, Connor? He'd be going up, be like, "You're globalist, you're globalist." It was like, whoa, who is this guy? And he had all sorts of, let's say, energy and commitment to exposing what was happening around the world. And so look, Alex, I don't know him personally. I've met him once. He was actually super sweet when I met him. He's not right a lot of the time. He's also not wrong a lot of the time. Sometimes he allows his passion to carry him into a direction that I think he regrets. But let's be very honest. And this is the one thing I think that people get deeply wrong about Alex Jones. Is that Alex Jones was totally right about Jeffrey Epstein, and everyone tried to smear him for it. He just was. He was the only person that was talking about Jeffrey Epstein. He was the only person that was talking about the Lolita Express. And now that's all just kind of fact that has now been memory hold. And so look, Alex, you never know what you're going to get. But he's also an entertainer. You must understand that. Part of his whole shtick is to make it fun and to push boundaries. If there was, someone said something to me from Europe, and you know what they said? They said, "Alex Jones is a uniquely American figure." I said, "What do you mean by that?" They said, "Without a First Amendment, you don't get anyone anywhere close to Alex Jones." I found that to be really interesting, is that it comes with the bombast, it comes with the bravado, but also it comes at sometimes at a deep revelation of truth. And so if Alex Jones were to come on this program, I would tell him exactly the same thing that I would say now, that I disagree with him on certain things. I don't think he handled himself right with the Sandy Hook thing at all. We'll talk about that. But is that reason to smear him and to destroy his life? I've also found Alex Jones to be totally entertaining throughout the years. And at times I find some of his stuff to be distasteful. So what? You don't have to agree with somebody all the time. So Alex Jones, back in a couple years ago, spoke out about the Sandy Hook shooting. He said something, quote, he said, "No one died. The incident was staged. It was synthetic. It was manufactured. It was a giant hoax and completely fake with actors." He's totally wrong there. In fact, he's admitted he was wrong. Shouldn't have said it. It was not true. Somewhat despicable, quite honestly, and he shouldn't have said it. Okay. So he said that, and in reaction to it, the Sandy Hook parents then started to, allegedly to the court documents, started to get harassed because of that. series of lawsuits then were filed against Alex Jones, saying that because of him, their lives were totally ruined. This trial has been going on and on and on. Now remember, with Alex Jones, you're dealing with someone that specializes in bombast and bravado. Shouldn't have said it. It was a mistake. He's admitted he was wrong multiple times, but that will not satisfy the media, and that will not satisfy the nonstop pressure campaign against Alex Jones. So, according to the judge in the Alex Jones case, anything you read in the press is hearsay, and even reciting what you read as a means to convey how you made it feel is also hearsay. So let's play cut 22.
How did you feel about that?
Well, when I read the newspaper, there was a $28 million ad buy.
Don't say what you read in the newspaper. Just tell me how you felt.
Things that you have read are also hearsay.
Okay.
Because you didn't say them. Somebody else said
okay.
them. Right? A writing is speech. Do not tell the jury anything that came from someone else
okay.
that you've read or heard. You have to disregard that sentence.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So that is the judge. Her name is Maya Guerra Gamble. This is the type of judge that Alex Jones was given. Put 23 up on stage. Hashtag stay at home. It could save lives with a blue hair bonnet on. Love is love with the transgender thing. And also, don't stay at the top. Vote for every Democrat. That's the type of judge Alex Jones got. Conflict of interest? You better believe it. Now look, did Alex Jones do something wrong? Of course he did something wrong. Does that mean that he should now have to pay a $50 million judgment? What kind of precedent does that speak? Does that set? That means that if you say something potentially cruel or could be interpreted as cruel, something offensive or could be interpreted as offensive, you could then go through multiple years of lawsuits and legal challenges that could bankrupt your entire life. Let's go to cut 25, Joe Rogan talking about Alex Jones. Play cut 25.
Alex Jones is funnier than Andy Kaufman's ever been. Alex Jones is f-ing hilarious often. Do you don't think there's entertainment value in him saying he's going to eat his neighbor?
Time my dumpster fire.
Right. But there's something to that, like to stop that and ban that. You're not stopping anyone from... You're not stopping anybody from anything bad by not having Alex do this entertaining thing about eating his neighbor. You're not saving anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta, like, what are you doing? Like, what is he doing that's so awful?
I don't know how to fix any of it.
It's entertaining. Like, why is it only acceptable if you have some kind of entertainment? Because there's so many rap videos that you could watch that I enjoy, but they're talking about shooting people and robbing people, and it's everywhere on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's so prevalent.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, that's okay.
Talking mostly about social media censorship when it comes to Alex Jones, it is fair to say Alex Jones is the most banned man in America. He is. So this was an intentional campaign, it seemed, to try to bankrupt Alex Jones and shut him up. Maybe it's because he was onto the Jeffrey Epstein thing before anyone else. He even said that in the courtroom. Play cut 20.
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials are aiding in pedophilia, child trafficking, and the grooming of children, right?
You mean like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
Oh, that video flew on our Instagram. Now look, here's some examples of how Alex gets a little ahead of himself. He very well might be right on this, but he gets a little bit ahead of himself, okay? He doesn't exactly do himself any favors when he just starts to go 10 out of 10. He goes DEFCON 5 immediately. So here's Alex Jones, how everyone in the courtroom is demonic with a cult ideology of the New World Order. Alex, this doesn't do you any favors, man. We're trying to help you out here, and you just keep digging yourself a hole. Play cut 21.
It's demonic. They all act demonically possessed. The judge, the lawyers... It's surreal to be around them. And it makes you feel sorry for them because these people are committed to a cult ideology of the New World Order. And they're never going to stop. They're getting rid of all the checks and balances, all of our basic freedoms. They've gutted the border. They're promoting pedophilia everywhere. They are just annihilating the social contract. They are destroying our country by design. They have been turned loose. When I talk about they, I mean the general crazed mob of the left.
I find very little I could disagree with there, but just don't attack the courtroom while you still have a pending appeal, Alex. It's not smart. You still have a pending appeal. Here's the bottom line. Alex Jones made a mistake. Alex Jones is a uniquely American character. Free speech, you're going to have all sorts of fun and interesting people. Is it now the precedent where we say you should be able to bankrupt somebody because they went too far? Free speech is messy, everybody. I'm not willing to go there. And it's wrong what happened to Alex Jones. So this is the first one, cut 26, Alex Jones in court. The day of the shooting, he dives in fully and says it could have been staged by our government. That's what his gut is telling him. Totally wrong. He was simply speculating at this moment. But this is a little bit of, let's just say, of the framework around what was ended up got him into the lawsuit. Play cut 27.
Do you understand now that it was absolutely irresponsible of you to do that?
It was, especially since I've met the parents, and it's 100% real, as I said on the radio yesterday, and as I said here yesterday, it's 100% real, and the media still ran with lies that I was saying it wasn't real on air yesterday. It's incredible. They won't let me take it back. They just want to keep me in the position of being the Sandy Hook man.
Saying literally, he wanted to take it back, and they won't give him the opportunity to do that. That they just want to try to smear him as the Sandy Hook man. Look, free speech can be very, very messy. Free speech can have actors and people you might not like. That's the point of having speech. The solution is more speech. The solution is having more people be able to challenge the status quo. You don't like Alex Jones, then come and speak out against him. What I'm failing to understand, though, is Alex Jones says something wrong and cruel. Then people harass the Sandy Hook victims' families unacceptably. Why is that Alex Jones's fault? Well, they say it's because Alex Jones spread false information and he should be held liable for that. That's quite a standard, though, isn't it? The standard is that if somebody says something cruel or speculates that something is cruel, and then somebody else unrelated does something bad because of that. Do you know what that's like saying? That's like saying, why can't we hold Maxine Waters accountable for saying we need to burn it all down, or whatever she said? We need to get in their face. Is that now the threshold of civil incitement? It's very, very legal shaky ground, regardless of what you think of Alex Jones. Regardless, this is very, very compromising legal ground. Play cut 28.
I mean, most soldiers, even with instinctive training, have trouble killing other men up close. And it's just unbelievable. But I mean, there is this nihilistic, sicko, Satan culture out there where, you know, people think it's really cool to talk about hurting kids. And all I'd like to say is when I'd like to get my hands on them. That's all I can say. But this could be staged as well. I mean, the Batman thing had all the signs of it. More just keeps coming out. And it is crazy to think government could be doing this, but they did Fast and Furious. Sirhan Sirhan was mind controlled. The police report said he didn't shoot RFK. And there's so many examples of real mind control programs. You know, it's hard to believe the government does secret experiments on kids and kills them, but it's been declassified. I don't know. What's your gut tell you about this?
I agree with you that there's something more to it. You don't have all of these incidents happen clustered in the past few years and not having some other factor.
Well, notice it didn't happen the last few years, and now that Obama's coming in with gun control, magically these shootings are popping up.
Alex Jones was speculating incorrectly and, dare I say, baselessly, that this was somehow some sort of a government conspiracy. He was citing other government-type interventions, I think somewhat factually questionable. But you're not allowed to speculate now as a news host? You're not allowed to say, well, this happened before. This is what my gut says. You can't do that. That now means you get bankrupted if you speculate? Is that now the legal precedent? What about the CNN that comes out and they say, oh, yeah, the Hunter Biden laptop, 50 intelligence officials say that the experts, Politico came out, I'm sorry, and said 50 intelligence officials that the Hunter Biden laptop was disinformation. We speculate. That was a lie and they knew it was a lie. Could we hold them civilly accountable for destroying the entire civilization? Could we sue Politico for $40 trillion? Most people will not touch the Alex Jones story because they're afraid of it. The one thing we've learned with Alex Jones, though, is they go after Alex Jones today and then they go after you tomorrow. That's what they did with social media banning. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped MyPillow become an amazing company and really, honestly, become what it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, great American, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now it's only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, and they have a cold, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out today on this incredible offer. This is a limited-time supply, so make sure to order now. Go to 1-800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell quick, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Joining us now is Steve Moore from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Steve, this bill that the Senate passed over the weekend, it's hard to even kind of know where to start with this. I'll just kind of give you, the floor is yours. What are the big points that people need to know about this? Increases taxes, the green energy aspect of it, increase the IRS. Let's start with the climate change part of it. Where on earth is all that money going to go to, quote unquote, fight climate change?
Well, great to be with you, Charlie. You're right. You and I could probably talk for 2 hours about all the horrible. I mean, this is truly a dreadful bill, 800 pages long, and I can't think of one good thing in this bill. Truly. I mean, I've read through, not the whole thing, but I've read through most of it, and it is basically just a massive increase in the size and scope of government and the invasiveness of government. And that's essentially the left's agenda. I want to make one point right from the start, Charlie. If you count the $1.9 trillion Biden spent in his first months in office, remember, that was the blue state bailout bill. And then that fraudulent $1.1 trillion so-called infrastructure bill, which was really the green energy bill. And then, remember, 2 or 3 weeks ago, they passed a massive corporate welfare bill that was roughly $200 billion. This one has a price tag of somewhere near, we don't know exactly, somewhere $600 or $700 billion. That's $4 trillion. I mean, can you believe this? They're talking now, the left is talking, oh my gosh, Joe Biden's like the next FDR. Well, if running up record amounts of debt, record amounts of red ink and deficits and record amounts of inflation, then, you know, he has been a, quote, productive president. But I've never seen anything like this in my 35 years. This will bankrupt our country. And let's just pray that we can stop this in the House. I'm not confident, but maybe there are maybe 4 or 5 or 6 fiscally conscientious Democrats left that might finally say, hey, $3.5 trillion is enough. We don't need another $700 billion.
Jeez. Yeah, but where specifically does this environmental money go? It's so unclear in the bill. Yeah.
So I was just doing an article on that before coming on. So first of all, guess what states get most of the money?
Probably blue states like California.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Shock, right? So California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Illinois, these states that have all gone in for green energy, where, by the way, it doesn't work in any of these states, right? I mean, you covered this story, Charlie, with the blackout problems and brownout problems in states like California. And so they will get most of the money. And then we have one of the themes we have to really work on, and I hope you will amplify this message because you've got such a powerful voice, is we have developed what I call the climate change industrial complex in this country.
That's so true.
It is made up of massive, you know, the big green lobbyists, the Sierra Club, Environmental Defense Fund, and so on, which have hundreds of millions of dollars. And then you have the wind and solar industry, which is completely dependent on, you know, these government subsidies. And then you have all these lobbyists. And we have, this industry is now a $1 trillion industry that's almost completely funded by government.
Jeez, that's so true. And we talk about the military industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, and now there's just this monolith to go fight climate change. What bothers me so much about this, Steve, and what worries me is how brilliantly duplicitous the climate change agenda is, because there is no end goal, right? They will always say, well, we just need another $100 trillion or another $250 trillion. It's never really about the climate. It's actually about control. And so that's one component of it. Can you talk about the tax increases in this bill as well?
One other thing to just amplify that message you just made. You know, I'm pretty old. I've been in this game a long time, since the mid-1980s. And I remember when we first passed, I think it was around the early 1990s, when we first, the first big handouts to the wind and solar industry. It was a five-year program. Charlie, 5 years. Then 5 years later, they said,
yep,
oh,
that's exactly
to extend this.
Right.
Another five years. And the industry would hardly even exist if it weren't for these massive subsidies. Now, do you ask me about the IRS? What was your question?
Well, just about the tax increases, something
oh,
about
the taxes,
a corporate minimum tax. And there's all these other ones that are a little unclear
so
what that means.
There's four industries that get clobbered, just absolutely clobbered in this bill. The coal industry. Gee, thanks a lot, Joe Manchin.
Yep.
You just betrayed. You're not one of your biggest industries.
And Tester, too. There's a massive coal industry in Montana. What is he doing?
Good point.
Butte, Montana.
Good point.
Anyway,
so
go ahead. Yeah.
Coal, steel.
Okay, well.
You know, I thought we wanted a domestic steel industry. And according to the statistics, steel gets creamed.
Wait, so Sherrod Brown and the other guy from Pennsylvania, they voted against.
That's Casey.
Casey, whose father was governor or something.
Yeah.
They voted against the steel industry. How is that possible?
Yeah, if you had the Idaho senators voting against potatoes, you know,
yeah,
how stupid is that?
That's exactly
Or the Nebraska senators voting against corn.
Yep.
I mean, these are key industries in their state. So I mentioned steel, coal, manufacturers. Gee, I thought we wanted to make things here in America. I thought we wanted to bring our manufacturing industry back. That's what we did under Donald Trump, Charlie. You know that. I helped put together that tax plan that Trump did, which was worked brilliantly.
We
brought all these jobs back, and now we're going to start exporting them. And the other industry is our drug industry that makes these important drugs. And so, you know, I don't get the logic of it. It's basically a transfer of money to our most productive industries to one of our least productive industries.
Yeah. And so the one in particular, so how does it actually tax steel and coal? Is it explicit in the bill?
Well, this is a little complicated because they've made some changes to the bill in the Senate, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what they did. But what the corporate minimum tax does is it affects capital intensive companies. Companies that have machinery and equipment and computers and factories, they don't get to write those off anymore. And so they get really hammered. And so what they're going to do is take those factories out of the United States, and they're going to put them in Mexico and China and India and other countries, and the jobs will go with them. So that's essentially a short version of how this so negatively affects American industries. If you believe in made in America, you got to hate this bill.
So, and then, of course, the one that's getting all the headlines, and I think actually rightfully so. I don't think people are missing the most dangerous component to this. 87,000 new IRS agents, Steve. Have we ever seen such a dramatic increase in the IRS with one bill at any time in our nation's history?
Or any industry, for that matter, or any agency, that is. You know, what's really, there's so much to be said about this, but one of the most outrageous things about this is, Charlie, I'm sure you've covered this story, but about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Army said there are about 30 or 40,000 recruits short of what we need for armed services.
That's right.
Our soldiers to keep us safe. We're also about 5 to 10,000 short in terms of border security agents. Now, wouldn't you think that those are higher priorities than hiring 87,000 new IRS agents? I mean, don't you think securing the the national security of our country and securing our border should be a higher priority than putting more money into the IRS?
You would think, but the IRS gets the priority with this. So here's my question, though, Steve, is that, I mean, why, where are the business groups on the left? This is what I can't quite understand, is that the left has become heavily financed by corporate America, more so the Chamber of Commerce and all of this. Why are they not stepping up to block this bill? Or are they okay with it because they think they're going to be exempt from this?
That's a very good question. I haven't followed what the Chamber's position is on this. They supported that big corporate welfare bill.
I mean, they're the worst on some of this stuff. I mean, they've become terrible, but I can't imagine 87,000 new IRS agents excites the interest of the Chamber.
Charlotte, let me make something clear, though. They're not going to go after big corporations.
No, that's exactly right. You're right.
They're not going to go after Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Zuckerman, or billionaires. If you're a millionaire or billionaire, you have an army of tax accountants and tax attorneys that are going to protect you from the IRS. The people are going to get killed are people like you and me. Number one, we're conservatives.
Yeah, we'll get audited for sure.
They're going to go after us. And second of all, I don't know about you. I don't have the money to spend $75,000 or $100,000 to hire these IRS.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the tax attorneys. And that's what they say. I had a tax problem a few years ago. I had a tax lien of $40,000. We didn't believe that we owed the money. And I talked to the tax attorney and he said, you're right. You don't owe the money. But he said, Steve, you probably should just pay the money because it's going to cost you more to defend yourself. Well, we did take it to court. We won. And the IRS said, oops, yeah, we made a mistake. But they think that they're going to intimidate people.
Yeah, but then they don't pay you back for your legal fees.
No, not at all. No, absolutely not.
So you get to defend yourself, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, all those sleepless nights and that misery. The IRS still gets paid. They get all their salaries.
Essentially right now, Charlie, we have given the IRS effectively an unlimited budget. So we as Americans have limited budgets. They have now an army of enforcement people. I mean, imagine Yankee Stadium filled with IRS agents. That's how many new people we're going to be hiring to snoop into our tax records.
Yeah, I mean, I've come up with some creative ideas. For example, that it should be required that a percentage of all IRS audits, that agents actually get audited. So they have to get to experience what we have to go through. But something tells me that
it's a good idea.
Yeah, we should put that into a new bill. That they just have to pick 500 IRS agents a year, put them through hell. So, Steve, what do you think the actual inflation rate is right now? And why are they saying this is the Inflation Reduction Act? Very Orwellian.
And by the way, I saw a poll the other day that almost no Americans believe that this will reduce inflation. So Americans aren't as dumb as the Congress thinks they are. This will make inflation worse, no question about it, because we know what caused the inflation in the first place. It was the massive government spending and borrowing, and now they're coming back with another big spending and borrowing bill. So, it's just dousing a forest fire with kerosene.
It sure seems that way. Any other parts of the bill we should be aware of? Steve, you said it still hasn't passed the House. Is that right?
Yeah, they have a 4 or 5 seat majority in the House. So we could, if there's some fiscally conscientious Democrats left. I mean, by the way, Bernie Sanders, he gave the best speech of any of the Democrats. I mean, this is the first time I got praised. Now, he voted for the bill, but he said, this is a fraud. This doesn't reduce inflation.
Because he probably wanted higher taxes.
But he was right. This doesn't. But I would say that we need to really focus on the idea that this bill is going to impoverish Americans. We're going to get hammered. It's the middle class that always get, and don't believe for one minute, the biggest lie of this administration. How many times have you heard Joe Biden say, I'm not going to tax people who make less than $400,000. One of the senators had a great amendment on the floor on Saturday saying, okay, then you can only audit people who make less than $400,000. And guess what? Every Democrat voted against that.
It's unbelievable. Incredible. All right, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Committed to Unleash Prosperity. Really appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Charlie. Take care.
Look, we know rates are inching up, and they're still historically low. But if you're tired of the high cost of renting, there's still time to buy a home. And I was just talking about this on our program. You got to buy. And by the way, you could always refinance. If you think rates are too high, you could always refinance. So go to andrewandtodd.com. They're the ones to contact right now to get you financing into your new home. They're not just mortgage brokers, they're lenders with Sierra Mortgage. They've been through multiple ups and downs and economic markets like you can imagine, just like the ones we're seeing today. So you just got to go to andrewandtodd.com. Whether you're considering owning versus renting or seeking a safer haven for your family in a new state, now's the time to get a pre-approved loan to give you the edge over other buyers. I know Andrew and Todd. They're great Americans. We hang out together. They love the Lord. They're great people. So just go to andrewandtodd.com. Do not wait. Get your pre-approved loan today while rates are still historically low. And by the way, again, some of you might say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to wait for the rates to go, you know, down and all this. Okay, well, then what if the property's worth twice as much in 3 years because there's so many dollar bills out there? AndrewandTodd.com. AndrewandTodd.com can guide you through all of this. And remember, you can always refinance. So go to AndrewandTodd.com. I saw the story on Breitbart.com. It just really bothered me. It's more of a cultural story. Oklahoma coach Cale Gundy resigns after reading hateful term in a team meeting. Hateful word in a team meeting. So look, I've been consistent about this. It really upset me when they tried to cancel Joe Rogan for saying rap lyrics and song lyrics that included the N-word. I don't think it's a word that should be used in decent or civil society. But if and when it is used, you also must look at the context and also the punishment. Oklahoma wide receivers coach Cale Gundy resigned on Sunday after reading a, quote, hateful word off a player's iPad during a team meeting. In an apology letter posted to social media, the coach said, quote, one particular word that I should never under any circumstances have uttered. The coach's nearly 25-year career ended abruptly when during a film review session last week, he saw a currently unidentified player paying more attention to his iPad than to his game film. Gundy then reportedly took the iPad from the student and read aloud what was on the screen. Unfortunately, one of the words the coach read was a racial slur. Gundy then explained, quote, last week during a film session, I instructed my players to take notes. I noticed a player was distracted and picked up his iPad and read aloud the words that were written on his screen. The words displayed had nothing to do with football. One particular word that I should never under any circumstance have uttered. I did not realize what I was reading. And then as soon as I did, I was horrified. Wait a second. Why did you resign? You read, okay, you made a mistake. We all make mistakes in life, dude. Why'd you resign like a little coward? Oh, did they drive you out? That's probably what happened. Oh, okay, wait. So all the football players at Oklahoma can use the N-word all the time. They can call each other the N-word. They can listen to rap songs. They can text the N-word. But you happen to try to discipline an athlete because he was being a punk, and you read what's on his iPad. You shouldn't have done it. Okay, and then you have to resign in disgrace, and your life is ruined? Oklahoma first-year head coach Brent Venables said he accepted the resignation and insisted that those associated with the school, quote, held accountable for our actions and resulting outcomes. What actions, Brent Venables? How about this, Brent Venables? Why don't you kick every single kid off of the Oklahoma Sooner roster that uses the N-word during training camp? You won't have a lot of players on your team. It's with sadness that I must accept Gundy's resignation, Venables said. He's dedicated more than half of his life to Oklahoma football and has served our program and university well. Okay, so his whole life is over because in a rush, he grabs some punk's iPad who's not paying attention and reads what he's saying. The kid can text the N-word, but he says it and everyone says he's got to resign. And as I said, I will say it again. Of course, I object to the use of the word. But even I don't understand why you have to be punished if you're reading what somebody else wrote. I don't understand it. Your whole life is ruined because of that? It's absolutely extraordinary to me. Well, his life is over because he is, well, Brent Venables is a coward, that's for sure. Again, I object to using the word. I also object to destroying people's lives for quoting what somebody else said. It's ridiculous. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.